Article 1 of the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights states that all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and should act towards one another in a spirit of brotherhood. You're listening to the Article 1 podcast. I'm Emily Marston. In both our podcast and magazine editions, we're dedicated to reporting on human rights issues from a variety of perspectives. This series is produced as part of the Community Podcast Initiative on Treaty 7 territory and powered by Shaw. In this episode, we'll be looking at how name mispronunciation actually affects people and what we can do to help. Mispronunciation, misspelling, and the shortening of a person's name are all common occurrences, but they actually make up a hurtful form of discrimination. Mispronouncing someone's name may seem like a small thing, but there can be a lasting impact. This episode, I'm speaking with Rachelle Valenzuela, a 19-year-old psychology student who immigrated from the Philippines when she was 12. When she immigrated to Canada, she was surprised to find that many people mispronounce her name or change it into a common pronunciation. We'll be speaking about how when someone goes the distance to learn how to pronounce her name correctly, she feels seen for who she is. I bumped into Rachelle during a class that we were taking together at Mount Royal, and I asked her if I had pronounced her name correctly. I caught up with her later, and one of my first questions was, why did your family immigrate to Canada?
To find a better life, better job opportunities here.
And what was the biggest challenge that you overcame in your immigration?
I think just speaking the language. Yeah, I don't think I was able to communicate how I feel when I was more new to this country. But because the people here were super nice, were very accommodating to me and my family, the transition wasn't very hard, so very grateful for that.
And did you take English classes?
We have English classes back in the Philippines, but it's not like super serious. There was a little bit, but we didn't learn a lot. So when I came here, I had to like kind of learn everything again. I had to learn from my surroundings. It wasn't very hard. I was kind of a kid, so it was easy to pick up on.
And so how did you find the transition into grade school? What was that like for you?
Well, I made a lot of friends already at that time, so it wasn't very hard for me. I was getting better at my English, so yeah, it wasn't super hard.
When we talked a few days ago, you mentioned that you often feel like giving up on correcting people about your name's pronunciation. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I thought my name, Rachelle, I didn't think it was that hard to pronounce. I don't think that's like such a Filipino name that was given to me. I feel like it's a bit more Western. So I didn't think people would have a hard time pronouncing it. So in the beginning, when people would ask me my name, they would say it, and then they would say it wrong. But I would try to correct them one or two times. But back then, I was a little bit more shy, and I was kind of scared to stand up for myself. So instead of Rachel, they would just say Rachel, which is, I get it, it's kind of close. When you see my name, oh, that could be pronounced as Rachel. So I was like, that's close enough, okay. So I didn't really bother asking them to pronounce it right again.
So would you just go by the name that they assumed it was then?
Yeah.
And so in a roll call in high school or junior high, would your teachers ever get your name right?
Rarely. And when they do get it right, I think they'll forget it the next day, the next couple weeks.
And how did that make you feel?
In the beginning, I was kind of bummed out. I mean, it didn't feel great. You know, I corrected them several times. My name is Rachel, not Rachel. But then, again, I got tired of it. So I kind of just, Rachel's close enough. Why not?
Have you ever considered changing your name?
I have actually two other names. So my first name is Rachel, and then after that is Anne Marie's. So there was a time where I considered, what if I just change to Anne? That's way easier and way shorter for people to say.
The topic that I, of course, am focusing on for my article on the podcast is the concept of name mispronunciation and also shortening of names as a form of racism. So do you think that mispronouncing someone's name is a form of racism?
Wow, heavy question. Okay. I think, yeah, a little bit. Like, some people have really, like, their names are really, really from their culture. Like, it's not westernized, like, unlike mine. So, I think it would be important for them, for people to pronounce their name correctly, because that's from their culture. My name is not that. Again, it's kind of westernized. It's not really from my culture, but other people have names that are from their culture. So I think that would be important for them if their name is pronounced the way that it's supposed to be pronounced.
So do you ever feel like mispronouncing your name has been a sign of microaggression?
I never felt that way. I just thought people didn't know how to pronounce my name.
So there's a big tendency to brush off mispronunciation as something that's fine or that just happens. Mm. But how does this affect you personally?
Again, it kind of made me exhausted correcting people. It kind of made me feel sad a little bit, because whenever people would call my name, I didn't feel like they were calling me. They were calling Rachel or Rochelle, whatever it is. They weren't calling Rachel. So, and there was a point actually where I had forgotten how to say my own name because people had called me all these other names. So there was a point where I had to like ask my parents again how to pronounce my name because I didn't know how to say it.
And how does it make you feel when somebody goes the distance to try and actually learn the pronunciation of your name?
Oh, it makes me really happy. And I appreciate it when people do that, because it's easy to just mispronounce someone's name, just go along with what they hear first. But when people, you know, go the extra mile, that makes me really happy. I don't know.
Well, I guess, why do you think mispronunciation happens after you've corrected someone saying, this is how you pronounce my name, and then they either forget it or don't pronounce it correctly?
I think maybe a lot of the times back then, I mentioned earlier how I didn't like have the courage to kind of speak up for myself. So my voice was kind of really, really tiny and kind of, you can't really hear it. And I think a lot of the times maybe people didn't hear me correctly. So a lot of the times, even if I say my name right, they would hear something else. And every time they would ask my name, they would hear the mispronounced, the wrong version of my name. They would just keep saying that.
And whose responsibility is it for the correct pronunciation?
I guess me too, because I learned how to, you know, increase my volume so people would clearly know how to say my name. As for responsibility, I think it'd be nice if people take the responsibility of pronouncing people's name. I think that's just common courtesy, you know. It makes me feel seen, it makes me feel heard. People say my name correctly because they're talking to me, not Rachel or Rochelle.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is just such a valid point, that it has to be on both sides. If you're not going to take the time to actually learn to see a person, it shouldn't and it can't just be your responsibility to keep correcting people. It has to be on both sides.
Yeah.
So a lot of the feedback that I've been given about this topic so far is that there's a really big difference between intentional mispronunciation and unintentional. Do you think that there's a difference?
Can you elaborate on that more? Intentional?
So intentional would be like either joking about your name or just choosing to call you Rachel because it's easier.
Oh, yes. People from high school or junior high to high school especially, right? I would tell them several times how to pronounce my name correctly, but because everyone is used to saying my name a certain way, they would kind of joke around it. Even if I try to tell them, no, you say it Rachel, they would say, okay, Rachel, Rachel, Rachel. They think it's kind of funny. So I just went along with it because I guess it's kind of funny.
And did you feel like that was a form of bullying, looking back on it now?
A little bit, I guess, because you know, I felt kind of bad whenever they would do it. I would ask them repeatedly to stop, but they thought it was all fun and games, I guess. I went along with it.
So much of our identities can be attached with the cultures that we grow up in. So what ways do you think a person's name and identity are tied together?
Again, your name, especially if it's in your language, could mean like a lot of things. Mine, unfortunately, is not Filipino. I wish it was. But when I think of like other Filipino names, for example, a name called Ligaya, which means happiness or being happy in Tagalog, I think that's a kind of pretty cool name. And yeah, it's like, I feel like if that were to be my name, I feel like I would be a bit closer to my culture because, I don't know, represents happiness. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I guess what I'm trying to get to is, how does your name describe you? And do you think it does? Is it attached to your personality? Like, if you went by a different name, and when you did accept being called, even though unintentionally, and didn't want to be called Rachel or Rochelle, how did that make you feel?
I guess Rachel or Rochelle, there was kind of like a personality attached to that. As I said before, I was a little bit more scared to stand up for myself, so I feel like Rochelle or Rachel could maybe represent a more cowardly, cowardly version of me, one who doesn't know how to speak for herself and kind of just like takes and goes along with everybody, and, you know, jokes around, even if, you know, she tries being serious. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. And so do you have any advice? Like, what would you tell someone who their name is maybe a little bit more difficult to pronounce? What would you tell them going through school?
I would tell them to please do not be afraid to speak up, to tell other people how to correctly pronounce your name, because again, it's just common courtesy. I don't think it's very hard. And like, trust me, if someone has mispronounced your name like enough times, I feel like you'll lose a part of you a little bit. I told you earlier that there was a point where I even forgot how to say my own name. I had to ask my parents how to say my own name, and I think that's kind of sad. I don't think it's very hard to, you know, go the extra mile and ask someone how to correctly pronounce their name. And I think if you do that, then I think you'll see a difference. It'll make you realize that, oh my God, people are talking to me, not another version of myself, or a mispronounced version of my name or myself. Does that make sense?
For sure. And I think that's just such an important thing, is just wanting to feel accepted and seen for who you are, not for something that someone else perceives you as or is imposing on you, but to be who you are and seen for that.
That was Rachelle Valenzuela, a psychology student at Mount Royal University. You've been listening to the Article One podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Article One is a human rights magazine published by Mount Royal University journalism students in Calgary, Alberta. You can find us online at article-one.ca. That's the number one. This series is produced as part of the Community Podcast Initiative and powered by Shaw. This podcast was produced on Treaty 7 territory, a region with a long tradition of storytelling, rich culture, and history. Since human rights issues are a universal issue, we're committed to elevating and including all voices, including First Peoples, as we continue our work. Thanks to artist Broke for Free for our theme. The song is Daybird off their Directionless EP. My name is Emily Marston. Thanks for listening. This podcast was produced at Mount Royal University, which sits on Treaty 7 territories, a region with a long tradition of storytelling, rich culture, and history. At Article 1, we respect and admire those stories and are committed to collaborating with First Peoples in our work.
we acknowledge the hereditary keepers of these lands, the Niitsitapi Blackfoot, Iyahe Nakota, Stony Nakota, Tsuut'ina, and Métis peoples. Article 1 seeks to decolonize storytelling by including Indigenous ways of knowing and voices. We are all treaty people.